Welcome to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Today we have a sermon by Pastor Jennifer Davis Sensenig.
Will you join me in prayer? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have always been interested in the flow of money. And Jesus had challenging things to say about money, but not here in these verses that we heard from John. So relax, this is not a sermon about money. But sermons about money are coming, right? Because this is a major topic in Scripture. So actually, if you're looking for a church that doesn't talk about money and won't challenge any of your financial practices, then you might have to look further. I'm not saying you should leave right now. But there are certainly congregations that avoid economic justice, simplicity, generosity, debt forgiveness, and things like that. All this is just prelude to saying that last year in my financial and economic interests, I was led to read a book called The Automatic Millionaire. Okay, I was a little bit embarrassed for anybody to see the title of this book. I kind of concealed it a little, even from my spouse, because I'm not trying to get rich. But the basic idea of the book is to clarify our financial priorities and make our actions on those priorities automatic, so that we don't end up leaving on the back burner important financial matters like giving generously or paying down debt, or preparing for retirement, or paying off a mortgage, or saving for college. There's some good financial advice in the book. And I've wondered about making more of our priorities automatic. The Bible doesn't use this term, automatic, but making our stories and practices so routine that they become the fabric of our lives is important for people of faith. That's why Jews recite the Torah. That's why Muslims fast at Ramadan. That's why Christians mark the days of Holy Week. In terms of biblical spirituality, a better term than automatic might be internalized. Think about it this way. The Old Testament readings during Lent this year keep referring to covenants, these public agreements or promises that God makes with us. And of course, we human beings are constantly breaking these covenants. But the insider secret, revealed in part by Jeremiah and made clear by Jesus, is that God's covenants are to be internalized. Jeremiah describes a covenant written on our hearts. This new covenant, advanced by Jeremiah and embodied by Jesus, is not just historically back there. It's not just abstractly out there. This covenant is internalized in here. So Jesus, breaking bread and pouring a cup of wine at the Passover meal, helps his disciples internalize this new covenant. We eat and drink so that God's promise of life becomes part of our bloodstream, transforming our mortal bodies into Christ's body with many members. Brothers and sisters, the people of God who tell and live the Jesus tradition internalize this covenant between God and humanity and with all creation. Internalizing our story and practices is just necessary because life throws a lot of challenges our way. And if we internalize the life of Jesus, then we will not be thrown off course by the temptations and challenges and failures in our lives. If we internalize the life and practices of Jesus, we'll be protected from the false gods and false powers trying every day to win our allegiance. At a deep level, our scripture reading from the Gospel of John shows us just how powerful internalizing the message and life of Jesus can be. Chapter 12 says that there were some Greeks, some Gentiles, who came to Jerusalem for the Passover. These Greek-speaking Gentiles were foreigners to God's covenants, but they were interested enough in Jewish people, interested enough in Jewish faith, and interested enough in Jewish practices that they were worshiping, as Jews did, one God. The one God who delivers people out of slavery and into a new covenant relationship, altogether different from the empire of Egypt or any other empire. During the Passover, these outsiders, these Greeks, ask Philip to see Jesus. Now, why do they ask Philip? There must have been something about this disciple, something of Jesus, that he had internalized. I preached a bit about Philip recently, earlier this year. Remember those five gifts of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? We translated those gifts into ways that we function in the 21st century, and we used some different language of dream awakener, heart revealer, storyteller, soul healer, and light giver. Well, earlier in the Gospel of John, Jesus calls Philip to follow him. And then Philip goes to get Andrew. Philip is an evangelist sharing the good news of finding Jesus with someone else. Again, in chapter 12 that we heard this morning, Philip is acting as an evangelist. He's connecting these interested outsiders, these Greeks, to Jesus. But this time, they just come to Philip. He doesn't go to get them. Philip has internalized Jesus' message, and people understand by his life that he's the kind of person who can connect them with Jesus Christ. As the church, we internalize the life and practices of Jesus so that the Gentiles, the nations of the world, the interested outsiders, recognize that we belong to Jesus. I wonder who is looking at our life as a church. I wonder who is looking at our individual lives. And what will they see? Will they see Jesus? Are we even interesting? As the church, we internalize the life of Jesus, giving up wealth and status and security in order to live the eternal life of God in the daily life of a human community. Do we live in such a way that others recognize we belong to Jesus? We're to be a community so interesting that we warrant a second glance by outsiders. So we need to be out and about. We need to be involved in every part of culture, unless, of course, our involvement compromises our covenant with Christ and the church. And this is where it gets interesting. This past Thursday, a pastoral team hosted a few more gatherings of people in different vocations. In the morning, some of the pastoral team was with stay-at-home parents, and in the afternoon, several of us were with CMCers who are in business. So I was at the business gathering, and after listening to their sharing and conversation, it is clear to me that CMCers are not in business to get rich or become automatic millionaires. They have internalized enough of the message of Jesus that they know business is not about private accumulation. They talked about business models that allow for doing some of their work for profit and some gratis, so that their products and services can meet needs even among those who can't afford them. They talked about business as a way of meeting and knowing very many people and very many different kinds of people. They talked about business as the philosophical challenge of assessing value, the true value of work, the deep value of relationships, the real value of products. They talked about business as a way to shift our habits and economy toward sustainability and care for creation. They talked and they talked, and then Pastor Jason had to go to Bible quizzing, and they talked and they talked, and then I had to go to Faith in Action. And so Jason and I left one of our pastoral elders, Mike Brislin, with all the cleanup responsibility. But that conversation and the lives of CMCers in business was an example to me that internalizing the person and message of Jesus makes a difference. These are interesting business persons, and I think they make good evangelists. And there are more of you. Maybe some of you are considering a vocation in business. If you are, connect with people like Jonathan Kreider and Hugh Stoll and Jacob Gerlach and Johann Zimmerman and Kelly McDonald and Ben Wise and Sam Miller. And all of you women in business, they asked about you. We missed you. And there are others, of course. Businesses are an incredible influence in the world, and if you have internalized the life and practices of Jesus, you can have profound influence in the wider community through your business. Indeed, whatever your vocation or your job or your life stage right now, let's be so interesting that others are attracted to our values, our practices, our faith, and our Lord. Okay, friends, there is a problem with this sermon, because Jesus didn't preach be interesting. Jesus actually preached hate your life. So what are we going to do with that? Obviously, Jesus didn't hate life. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly, says the Lord. But Jesus rejected the stereotypical ways of life in order to live what was written on his heart. Jesus, the very Son of God, had internalized God's covenant with humanity and with creation. Jesus was willing ultimately to be rejected by some of his best friends, by his religious community and the powers of the empire. I think that's what he means by hate your life. But let me know if you think otherwise. Jesus was willing to fall into the earth a single grain in order that many could internalize his way of loving service and intercultural witness against the ruler of this world. At the end of our lives, when we fall into the earth like a single grain, will we bear much fruit? And if it's true that the Christian life is to live the eternal life of God in the daily life of a human being, as Jesus did, then are we bearing fruit now? Are we rejecting the stereotypical ways of life in order to live what is written on our hearts? What have you internalized with regard to your faith? And what have we as Community Mennonite Church internalized? Next Sunday begins Holy Week. It's a great way to internalize the Jesus story, to be taken with it all over again. So come to Palm Sunday worship and dare to say, Hosanna, save us. Walk in the Palm Sunday Peace Parade. You can walk your dog in the Palm Sunday Peace Parade and make that journey of solidarity with those who are on the margins, who confront evil in the power centers. Show up on Maundy Thursday to dwell with Jesus, remembering that Passover and washing feet. Now that's interesting. a week from Friday at noon, walk through Harrisonburg with a bunch of other Christians who probably think differently about the way of Jesus, but hear together the passion story told in public by storytellers who internalize the story. Join us here, Good Friday, in the evening to sing and pray and ponder how Jesus' death, a single grain, produces much fruit. During Holy Week, we internalize the story. Sometimes we kind of stumble through it. I pray that this year you are taken by Jesus all over again. God's new covenant of love that we have entered through Jesus Christ is not historically back there, and it's not abstractly out there. This covenant is internalized in here. It makes us interesting. It makes us church together in the 21st century. Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." We are drawn this season to Jesus, and we are part of that divine drawing of all people because we internalize the Jesus story and the Jesus practices. We reject the stereotypical ways of life in order to live what is written on our hearts.
Thank you for listening to the Community Mennonite Church Podcast. Our theme music is a setting of John Wesley's text, "Jesus, I Believe You're Near," composed by Matt Carlson. Jeremy Nafziger arranged it for strings. To learn more about our congregation or to plan a visit, please check out our website at cmcva.org.